good to be here.
Beautiful. Thank you, Marie, so much. I love the shepherd songs right now. That's awesome, isn't it? Enjoying that so much. I'm so glad that you're here worshiping with us today. And this is a special day, of course. We're celebrating Father's Day today. And I know this time we celebrated Mother's Day in the month of May, and we weren't here. And Father's Day, and we get to be here worshiping together, and we're so thankful for that, aren't we? Dads, men, thank you for who you are and how you pour into the lives of your family and your kids. And we just want you to know that we love and appreciate you, and your spiritual leadership in your home means so much. And so in just a moment when we pray, I want to lead us in just a special prayer of thanks for our fathers today. But I want to share with you a couple of other prayer burdens and concerns that I feel like you need to be aware of and to be praying about this coming week. One of them is that our sweet little Jennifer Holloway passed away this morning early, went to be with the Lord. I always think it's significant when believers pass away on Sunday because I think, you know, they're getting to worship with Jesus today. And y'all know Jennifer's had a struggle for a long time. Please pray for Steve and for his mother, Ruth Parker, who's also a member of our church, and for their family. Lift them up, if you would, as they just go through this time of grief. And, of course, continue to pray for the others in our church family who are grieving. Yesterday we had services here for Brother Tom Davis, and what a sweet time together yesterday getting to celebrate his life. So lots of folks are hurting right now. And then there's burdens and requests that are on our heart today as we just think about the things going on in our world. So a lot to pray about, isn't there? And we need to know who to take those burdens to. The shepherd of our heart, right? We know who to cry out to in times like this. So I want to lead us in a word of prayer today before we get into the heart of the message, before we get into our sermon today, and just ask for the Lord's blessing on these families that are grieving. We want to just praise Him, honor Him this Father's Day as we remember our dads, and then we want to just commit this time to Him. So pray with me if you would. Father, I can't stand in this pulpit and not give you praise and just thanks for us getting together in this place and to worship you. Thank you for that privilege. God, we don't ever want to take that for granted. God, just the opportunity to gather with other believers and to worship you. Lord, whatever that looks like, Father, even sometimes when we gather and we're not comfortable with the things that are going on around us, God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us this morning, even this place, to get past all of that, Lord, and just worship you. Find you in this place. Hear your voice. God, we long for that today. God, we recognize today is Father's Day, and we give you thanks. God, I thank you for my dad and the impact that he had on my life, and God, the values that he instilled in me, but even more than that, how he pointed me to you. And God, I thank you and I praise your name for my dad. And I know others in this place feel that too. And today we thank you for fathers, righteous fathers, spiritual fathers who lead their home and who point their kids to Jesus, and God, who set an example as a role model in their home day in and day out, encourage their hearts today. God, we give you thanksgiving for them. And we pray that they would be blessed in this day by their children, in their homes, by their spouses. Thank you for them, and thank you for an opportunity today, God, ultimately to give you praise, honor, and glory for our homes and our families and our dads. Then, Lord, we want to lift up these special burdens and concerns that are on our heart today. We pray a very special prayer this morning for Steve Holloway and for Ruth Parker and for their family. We pray for your comforting presence to be with them right now. Comfort them in their loss. Thank you for Jennifer. God, thank you for her testimony as she stood before us not long ago and gave honor and glory and praise to you, God, for your hand in her life. And God, thank you that today she is with you. We praise you in that. And I pray that, Lord, today and in the coming days, you'd comfort that family. Comfort Jerry. Just continue to be with her. Comfort the Burns family. Continue to be with them. And the Fricks family. And God, so many others who've lost loved ones, comfort them. God, today in this place, Lord, even as we open your word together, we recognize that your word has the ability not only to convict and stir and draw us to yourself, but it has the ability to heal and mend and comfort and bless. God, we need all of those things today. So, Lord, for the next little bit, we invite you to move on us in this place. Let your Holy Spirit fall on us. God, I just want to step out of the way and let you speak to us this morning through your word. And God, I pray that as we come face to face with you in your word, God, that it would be life-changing for us. God, that it would be, God, something that would, God, not just stir us, God, not just unsettle us this morning, God, not just kind of probe us and make us feel something, but God, beyond that, Lord, it would be life-changing. And Lord, if there's one here in this place today that doesn't know you as the shepherd of their heart, the Lord of their life, God, I pray that today they would be drawn to you, that they might come to know you, that they might commit their all to you. And Father, what you do in this place today, Lord, we will be careful to give you and you alone all the praise and the honor and the glory. We love you. We praise you. We exalt you. And Father, right now we just lift all of these things to you in your name. Amen. If you have your Bible, you know where we are. If you would, be finding that familiar passage of Scripture. I recognize that where we've been the past few weeks in God's Word, probably it's not even necessary for you to turn there, right? You probably have this psalm of all psalms in Scripture, Psalm 23. You probably have that memorized and kind of engraved on your heart. We've been here for the past few weeks, and we've been in a series of messages that I've simply titled, God is Enough. I love that. It seems very relevant for us right now. It seems like a title to us that is where we're living, doesn't it? For us as believers, all the things that we're kind of experiencing in our world, in our culture, around us right now, just to be able to say, you know what, God is enough. He is sufficient in this. He is all I need, which you're going to hear that over and over today as we kind of work through this. He's sufficient for us. So we've been in this series called God is Enough, and every week we've been kind of saying this together, kind of making this statement. This has kind of been our launching kind of idea, our key takeaway for the last few weeks, and we've just kind of been affirming that He is enough for every avenue of our lives. And we're going to look at it here in just a minute, but in Psalm 23, I don't know if you've been noticing this, but this statement we've been making every week really finds itself, kind of rests in the very words of Psalm 23. And here's what we've been saying every week, kind of reminding ourselves that God is enough. That God is enough to meet my needs, to give me rest, to guide my steps, to calm my fears, to heal my hurts, and to secure my future. Do you get that when we read that statement, that is essentially saying that God is enough for every avenue, every season of my life. Whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm encountering, whatever I'm experiencing at this time in my life, He is enough. And when we finish this series of messages, I'm hoping that every time you hear Psalm 23 in the back of your mind, you will think this. You will think, you know what that psalm's really about? It's about God being enough. That He is sufficient. That when my life kind of bottoms out, when I'm struggling the most, when I'm filled with fear, when my needs are great, when I'm hurting, when I don't know what direction to go, listen, I know who to go to, that good shepherd, because He is enough. So if you've got your Bible there, look at Psalm 23 with me. I love this psalm. I can't tell you how many times people will say to me, this is their favorite passage, and I've really tried hard not to say that because I say it about every passage essentially, right? This is a great one, isn't it? So you probably have it memorized. Look at it with me there. If you have your Bible with you, words will be on the screen. You can follow along there. But here's the shepherd's psalm, Psalm 23. And as we read through this, think about how this psalm is echoing those words constantly to us, that God is enough, that He is enough. Look at it with me. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that beautiful? I think about that psalm, and I think, I don't know how your prayer life kind of works, but I think, you know, what a great psalm for us to pray. And even as I was kind of working through it and kind of reading through it again this week and kind of leaning into that passage of Scripture, I thought, what an appropriate passage for us right now where we are. Last week, I kind of posed the question to you. We've been saying it every week, but is God really enough? Is He really sufficient for us? And do we really live our lives every day in that sufficiency, knowing that He's enough? Are we constantly trying to run around and fix things for God, right? Make things line up right, or be sure that things kind of follow the pattern or the path that we want them to go, when all the while we're professing with our lips that God is enough, but are we truly letting Him be sufficient for us, for our every need? I think that's powerful. Now, as we've been studying Psalm 23 together, I want you to look at this in your Bible there, because we just read it, and I want you to see this. I'm going to point some things out as we work through this. I hope that as we've studied Psalm 23, maybe some new things about this psalm have begun to emerge for you. And today, as we kind of dig into it, I think we're going to discover some more truth behind this very simple, oft-heard psalm that I think probe deeply into our life. But when you look at Psalm 23, just look at your Bible there if you have it with you for a second, and think about this with me for a minute. You know, so far in those first four verses, that's where we've been the last few weeks. We're now on part five, so we're doing this verse by verse, right? So in the first four verses of this, we've met a couple of people. We've met the shepherd, right? And the shepherd represents who? God, or Jesus. He is our shepherd, right? It's not David is not the shepherd, although we know that David's writing this from a shepherd's perspective, and he himself was a shepherd. We recognize when we read this psalm that we've met the shepherd, and that is God. And then we've also met the sheep, right? Those are the two main players in this story, right? Up to this point, we've met the shepherd and we've met the sheep, but when we get to verse 5, we meet the right? Did you see it? We met the shepherd and the sheep. In verse 5, we meet the enemies. All of a sudden, there's another character that enters the story. And it's the one that causes us to take a step back. Perhaps if you back up in there, it's the one that God's been encouraging our hearts towards when He says, listen, I'm enough to meet your fears. I'm enough to calm your fears. I'm enough to guide your steps through some pretty dark valleys, right? I'm enough for you. I'm enough to meet your needs, because when you get down to the middle of this, He's going to remind us, because it's not just me, the shepherd, and you, the sheep. There's enemies. And I think about that, and I think about how, you know, in this life, there are enemies. There are those who come against us. There are circumstances that come against us. There are things that hurt us in this life, which I think we need to pay attention to. Sinclair Ferguson said this. He said, as in all warfare, the two essential elements in victory are knowing your enemy and knowing your resources. I like that, because in this psalm, we've met our resource, haven't we? What's our resource? The shepherd, Him. We're going to see that played out in this passage today as we kind of focus in on verse 5. We're going to see He is our resource. So we know that, but here's what He wants us to do. He wants us to know that there are enemies. Now, I don't think He wants us to fear our enemies. We don't have to fear our enemies, right? Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We don't have to fear that. Last week, we talked about how the shepherd calms our fears, right? But listen, we need to be aware, two elements for victory. We need to be aware, know our enemies. We need to be aware and know our resources, or our resource. Charles Spurgeon said, beware of no man more than yourself. We carry our worst enemies within. Isn't that an interesting statement? You know what he's saying? Yeah, we've got enemies, and sometimes we're our own worst enemy, right? And I think that's true too. So we've got enemies. And Alistair Begg, who I love to hear him preach, but Alistair Begg says, the Christian will be sure. The Christian will be sure to make enemies. There's going to be enemies around us. We're going to find enemies within us. And we know, listen, as sheep with a shepherd, and we know as believers today that there is an ultimate enemy at play in our world today that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, right? We recognize that the enemy's all around. John, in that great shepherd-sheep passage in John chapter 10, he even tells us in John 10:10, warning us of this enemy, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that closest disciple of Jesus, who'd had some encounters with the enemy and so ruthlessly tried to take him down, we know Peter, right? Boy, do we kind of relate to Peter, that disciple that was constantly kind of getting tripped up by the enemies, getting hurt and injured by the enemy, right? And it's Peter that warned us in 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In other words, hurt. You get it? So here's what you need to know. If there are enemies, your enemy's out to hurt you, whatever that looks like. And he will use circumstances and surroundings around you. He will use other people sometimes. He'll use whatever device is necessary to try to injure you. And the truth of the matter is, in this life, we get hurt, right? The shepherd is good, but the sheep get hurt. And all of us have experienced that in our life from time to time. Sometimes it's the cutting words of another person that injure us so deeply, hurt by others. The stabbing pain of those who have maybe injured you or impugned you can kind of drive you to this deep hurt that feeds our insecurities and causes us to even doubt ourselves. Our souls can be hurt, and it plays out in things like doubt and anger, and ultimately, if we don't deal with our hurts, it grows into a type of bitterness. There's a dog named Spot. He was frequently beaten by his master. One day, Spot was wandering down the street when a young boy picked up a stick, just wanting to play fetch with him. When the dog saw him pick up the stick, he took off running with his tail tucked between his legs. Although the boy just wanted to play and have fun with the dog had been conditioned to associate the stick with pain. The beatings the puppy had received programmed Spot to assume that all people were out to hurt him. And you know what? I think that happens to a lot of us sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes when we get hurt, when we get injured, when we get the beat downs in this life, listen, we began to kind of react to other people from that place of hurt. And what I love, love, love about this psalm is that right when we get to the middle of the psalm in verse 5, we find out that God is enough to heal my hurts. Listen, when I look around today, I see a lot of people that are hurting. I do. I heard one of them on the phone this morning at 2 in the morning. Hurting. It's not just unbelievers who hurt. Christians hurt too. Sometimes, and I've been around churches long enough and been pastoring for over 30 years now, so I understand that sometimes even Christians hurt Christians. We get hurt in this life. And if you're like me, listen, this is what we know about hurt. It's hard to get over it sometimes, isn't it? I mean, it's really easy to throw out the trite saying sometimes. As believers, it's really easy for us to say things like, well, just put on your big boy pants and go on. But all of us know that sometimes hurt digs deep and it stings deep and it causes division and it affects us in deep ways. Y'all know that I quote Matt Chandler quite often, and he said this, which I thought was an interesting quote. He said, I've discovered most Christians don't know what to do with difficult situations because they have bought into the lie that God owes us for our good behavior. The reality of life is that if you live long enough, you are going to bleed, cry, and hurt. And God is still God in that. And listen, when I read Psalm 23, I am reminded the sheep have a good shepherd, but they're going to hurt because they're enemy. There's an enemy that wants to take you down. Here's what I've come to understand as a believer. That is that, listen, if you belong to him as a believer, as a Christian, Satan can't have you. The enemy can't have you. You are his, and his name is written on your heart, right? You belong to him. He can't have you, but you know what he can do? He's an enemy that can attack you and hurt you and injure you. He can take what other people say that dig deep in us, cause that to be a festering wound on us as his sheep, right? He hurts us. So what does the shepherd do? Listen to me. Write this down somewhere. It's the title of the message today. God is enough to heal my hurts. You need to know that. I need to know that. I need to know and understand and lean into that truth that when I am hurting, because surely if you live long enough, as Matt Chandler says it, you are going to bleed, cry, and hurt. It's going to happen. Just as sure as the nose on your face. I can't see yours today, by the way. Right? You can see mine, but I can't see yours. But as sure as the nose on your face, you're going to experience hurt. But here's what I say to that. You know what? God is enough to meet my need, and he's enough to guide my steps, and he's enough to calm my fears, but he's also enough to heal my hurts. Christian, listen to me. Let him. Let him. And that's what I want to do just for the next little bit. I want to talk about how the Good Shepherd, what he does to heal our hurts, how that happens. And ultimately, we're going to kind of land on this idea because I believe it's right there in verse 5 of our passage of Scripture. We've read it hundreds of times and we thought, what in the world is that really talking about? And how does verse 5 even fit into the whole psalm? The whole picture seems to have changed and kind of turned up on its head there. What's it really saying? We're going to lean into that and kind of understand it. But I believe right there, there's an important word for the sheep. And it's this: you're going to hurt, but God is enough. You're going to get injured sometimes, but God is enough. And for believers, those sitting here, those listening on the live stream right now, you need to understand God's enough to heal my hurts. How does he do it? These are so simple, guys, these points, but jot them down. Number one, he heals my hurts by providing all that I need. All that I need. Now, we already said he is enough to meet my needs. And now in verse 5, he's coming back to that almost as if he's echoing it and saying, you know what? When I said I'm enough to provide all of your needs, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Here's what you're going to want. When you're hurting, you're going to want healing. And I can heal your hurts by providing all that you need when you need it at just the right time in the midst of that hurt. Now, look at verse 5 again, because that's where we're going to be focusing today and kind of running through that verse and kind of pulling it apart so that we can understand it. So look at verse 5. Here's what David writes in the Shepherd Psalm in verse 5. He says, "You, God, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Isn't that a great verse? The problem with that verse is that a lot of people come to that and go, "Well, what just happened?" Right there in the middle of this beautiful shepherd's psalm, where we see valleys and we see green pastures and we see water flowing and we see trails to follow. We see this beautiful agricultural kind of farmland type picture, and all of a sudden there's a table. And you go, well, did he just kind of change metaphors here on me? What's he doing? What's happening here in the middle of this? I mean, it would be pretty funny if you just kind of get this. I was thinking about this week. Thinking it'd be pretty funny if you would just kind of picture in your mind a bunch of sheep dressed up in tuxedos sitting at a fancy banquet table spread out with fine linens and china and crystal and silver, right? With their little hooves up on the table trying to eat and grab the utensils, you know? And you get to the middle of Psalm 23 and you go, a table? Really? Well, that's interesting, right? But that's not exactly what he's talking about. That's not the picture he's given us. Table there literally refers to tableland. So here's the picture that we get. In this psalm, and look at your Psalm 23 with me for a second. This is interesting. I've said this a couple of times as we work through this series, but Psalm 23 covers all the avenues of life. Some people say that it covers all the seasons of life. So look at your Bible there with me if you would, and you may want to mark this just so that you can see it. In verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 23, we're in the springtime. Do you see that? What happens in the spring? Green grass. Water flows because of the rains, right? right? So the lawnmowers come out, right? Because we've got to cut the grass because the grass is growing. And the sheep do good in the spring. Why? Because they've got grass to eat and water to drink. They do pretty good. So that's the spring. But when you get down to verse 4, they're in this valley. And you know why they're walking through the valley now? Why they're having to be led out of that green pastures, crystal flowing water? Because summer has hit, right? So you get to verse 4, you're in the summer. Summer has hit. And all the green grass up there has burned up in the heat, so the shepherd moves the sheep to the lower countries through the valleys so they have a place to summer. It's cooler down there. Remember, there's shadows. Shadows provide not just a place for predators to hide, but they provide cooling for the sheep, and they provide places where the sheep can feed. But then, as you kind of move on through this, we're in verse 5 now, and we get to verse 5, you're in the fall. Because here's what the shepherd would do. While the sheep were in the valley, he would leave his sheep with other shepherds to tend to, and he would go search out a place to take them in the fall out of that valley so that in the fall they would have a place to feed. And he would find what's called a mesa. You know what the Spanish word for table is, right? What is it? Mesa. Flatland. Tableland. So he would come up out of the valley and he would go up and he would find a mesa. And here's what he would literally do. He would prepare it for the sheep so that in the fall he could lead them up there and they would have a place to live and survive. Here's the problem with mesas. When you get up on the mesa, there's all kinds of new predators and dangers for the sheep. For one thing, we sheep aren't always real smart. We wander off, and if you're way up here on a table, mesa land, what's one of the kind of things that can happen to you? You can fall off the cliff, right? And you know what? We do it all the time as Christians, don't we? We drift, we drop, we fall, we get hurt, right? Also up there, there's all kinds of predators, and one of the things that was really interesting as I was working on this message that I discovered is that up on the mesas of kind of the holy lands or around biblical lands, up on the mesas, there's these little brown snakes called brown adders that live in holes up on the mesa. And interestingly, you know what the shepherd would do? He would go up, he would find all of those little holes, and he would fill them with oil. So that when the snakes came up wanting to bite the sheep on the nose, when they found that they were near, and by the way, they were toxic to sheep, the sheep would die when they got bit by the snake. When those snakes tried to come up and slither through those holes, they couldn't make it because of the oil, and they would slide back in. That was very interesting when I read that. I thought, well, that's one use of oil, right? But what I want you to see is that the shepherd is busy preparing everything that the sheep need. You see, down in that valley, in those summer months, the sheep have lost weight. The feeding isn't as good. He's taken them to a place where there's some measure of safety. But here's what happens down in the valley. Remember, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, what was down there? Enemies. Those who hurt the sheep. Those who want to damage the sheep. So here's the shepherd. He's gone. He's prepared the tableland for them to come and begin to feed. And he looks for areas that are perfect for them. And here's what I want you to see. That, listen, up on that mesa, the shepherd has prepared a place for them where they don't have to be afraid, where they don't have to be hurt, where everything's taken care of. And what I ultimately want you to see in this passage of Scripture, that it's the shepherd's presence that's all that they need. That's all they need. In every season of life, when you look at this, look who's present. Look who's present in the spring, in the summer, in the fall, and then next week we'll be in the winter, right? Look who's present. Who's there? The shepherd. And you know what he's doing? He's providing all we need, all that we need. One of the great lessons that I've kind of learned about the Christian life is simply this, and I put this up on a slide because I think this is important for us to understand, and it's this, that peace is not the absence of problems. It's not. Peace is the presence of Jesus. That's the truth. When you're hurting, if you can get into the presence of Jesus, He can heal your hurts. We're going to see that as we work through this. He can. He heals our hurts by providing all that we need. You know this song,
so well because it's been sung from this church and right from this pulpit on many occasions. But I want to just read the words to you. I want you to think and meditate on what these words are saying, and especially how this kind of fits even into this thought that God provides all that we need, and all that we need is His presence. Here's the song. It says this: in and out of situations that tug of war at me, all day long I struggle for the answers that I need. Then I come into His presence. All my questions become clear. And for that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere. You know what that song just told us? He is enough to heal my hurts. Here's a second verse. Through His love, the Lord provided a place for me to rest, a place to find the answers in hours of distress. So there's never any reason to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe His name. He will surely meet you there. You know the song, right? What is it? In the presence of Jehovah, right? You get it, what that song is saying? That He is enough to meet all of my needs. He's enough to heal all of my, calm all of my fears. He's enough to guide my steps. And ultimately, when I'm hurting, He is enough. He is enough to heal my hurts. Where do I find that? In His presence. Steve Brown is a great radio Bible teacher. I don't know if you've ever heard him. He has this rich, deep voice when he teaches. He also authored a lot of great, great books, but he was raised in North Carolina near a Cherokee Indian reservation. And he tells the story of one of their cultural traditions that he learned about as he was growing up in that area. He said that as a young Cherokee youth, boy, as he was moving from boyhood into manhood, the tribe had a custom that they did every year to kind of initiate them into manhood. They would take that young man out into the woods and they would leave him there in the middle of the night, on the darkest night that they could imagine. They'd leave him there all by himself. He couldn't have any weapons. They would give him no tent to stay in and no sleeping bag to sleep in, no way to defend himself. And when the father would leave him there, he would simply say to him, "No matter what happens, remember you have nothing to fear." Now, when I read that story, I thought, yeah, that's easy for you to say. You're going home, right? I'm going to be out here with nothing. So what would happen is that night, that young boy moving into adulthood would hear every owl that hoots, would hear every branch in the breeze swaying and thinking something was coming to get him, would hear every pine cone fall, and perhaps would spend one of the most sleepless nights of his life. And when morning would finally come and his eyes would slowly begin to focus on the first hint of daylight, the first thing he would see was that his father had never left him, but had stood nearby with weapons in hand ready to defend him. And then Steve Brown said, our God does the same for us. You see, when we're hurting, what do we know? It may look darkest dark around us, right? It may look like night, and every sound that we hear, we may think is out to get us, right? Those hurts kind of cause deep scars on us. But what we know is that we have a shepherd. That's all we need. There's a little chorus that we sing here a lot that says, He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. You know it? It's a great song. It's simple. That's the only words to that chorus. But I think what a great song, what a great chorus that ought to be reverberating in our lives, in our lives every single day as we're hurting, as we're struggling, that He's all I need. He's all I need. It's Him. He's the one who heals my hurts. I think that Paul was right when he said in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. When you're hurting, God can heal your hurts. You know why? Because He's all we need. But here's the second thing. You ready? Not only that, He heals my hurts by providing all that I need, but He also heals my hurts by providing just what I need. Now listen to me. When you're hurting, and I feel like I'm speaking from experience here, when you're hurting inside. No one else may know, because as Christians, we've gotten pretty good, right, at putting on a good face, right, when we're hurting, so that no one else knows. I always think about Sundays and how we come to church looking our very best, our Sunday go to meeting clothes, right? And we come to church and we look the best that we can. We got a big smile on our face when we come and we look great, and nobody sees deep inside what's really going on. When we're hurting inside, I'm just telling you right up front that He's all you need, right? But also, He knows what's going on in you, and He knows just what you need when you need it. He knows. Now look at verse 5 again and notice this. Just kind of run over it one more time. And I want you to see this, because we're going to focus on that second phrase there, what we really need. Here's what He says in verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You see that second phrase there? You anoint my head with oil. What is that telling us? What's that picture there? I've already told you one little use of that oil that's kind of spoken of there. So when the shepherd prepares the table land in preparation for the flock's arrival, getting them all that they need there, and His presence is going to be there to protect them and oversee them when they're hurting, that's a powerful truth. Now we're reading another peculiar thing there in verse 5, and that is that the shepherd is said to anoint the sheep's head with oil. Now, what we know is that oil had two purposes from a shepherd. One, it was used as a repellent, okay? So think about this. What did He just tell us? Look at verse 5 there again in our passage of Scripture, because I think this is so powerful. He just said, look at it, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, to repel your enemies, right? It's a repellent. So it repels, keeps us from getting hurt. Second, it's used as a medicine. It's anointed as something that heals. He heals us when He hurts. So He anoints our head with oil for two things there, doesn't it? To repel the enemy so that we don't get hurt, but when we do get hurt, we've got the oil to heal us. Two sides of that. Now, if you kind of study this passage a little bit and you kind of lean into it, kind of understand exactly what's going on here with the sheep, I kind of discovered some interesting thing as I was kind of researching this week. You see, the worst enemy of the sheep was not necessarily those predators, the wolves and the coyotes or bears or mountain lions or even the little snake in the hole, the brown adder. If you really study what was happening up on those table lands, up on that mesa, the worst enemy of that sheep was something that was called a little tiny nose fly. Interesting. Nose flies live up in the grasses where they're now feeding. So you get the picture, right? Sheep head down, eating on those grasses, and little nose flies fly up, and guess where they go? Right up into their nose, just like it sounds. And they lay little eggs up in their nasal cavities. And when those eggs hatch, I'm sorry, I don't mean to gross you out. I'm kind of glad I can't see your faces right now, but they lay little eggs, then the larval will begin to feed on the membrane inside of the sheep's nasal area. And literally, study this sometime, it will make the sheep or livestock lose their minds. They will go crazy. They can't scratch their faces or their heads enough to stop the hurting, so they will bang their heads on rocks or on each other. Some of them will even jump off the side of the mesa to try to find relief. I guess sheep suicide? I don't know, right? But you get the picture, right? That those nose flies are absolutely detrimental to the life and health of the sheep. If it goes on long enough, the sheep will quit eating. They'll become very, very thin, and eventually they will die. And so the shepherd knows just what they need at that time. So here's what he does. He puts together an oily mixture of virgin olive oil and sulfur, okay? And he anoints the oil on the head of the sheep as a repellent, because the nose flies hate the smell of it and they'll stay away from him. But also as a healing. He'll take it and he'll swab it all inside the nasal cavity of the sheep to heal where they are. It kills the eggs, and it brings healing. Now, I know, gross sheep anatomy, right, for you right now this morning. But I want you to get the picture. Because I said a minute ago that he's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. And he knows just what you need. And I love this passage of scripture where it talks about how he anoints our head with oil. He knows just what we need. You see, when I think about that sheep and I think about the anointing that he does, and there's a purpose behind it, there's a reason behind it, it's because the sheep have these things that hurt them, and the shepherd wants to protect them and provide them healing from that, right? And so he gives them just what we need. That's exactly what God does for us through the oil of his Holy Spirit when we are wounded, when we are hurting, when we are in sorrow, when we're irritated, when we're bothered by the little things of this life, the little nose flies, right? That eat at us, that disturb us, that literally make us crazy, that, listen to me, get inside our head and cause us to be less than what he would have us to be. I don't know if you noticed it here, but it's pretty interesting when you think about what's going on. I love it. Look at your passage of scripture there, because it's not plural here, it's singular. And I love this, because look at verse 5 again. It says this: you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. I think that's interesting. The shepherd cares about the entire flock, but I love the focus that he gives to the individual sheep. You know what? When I was reading this, I kept thinking, you know what he just said to me? Is he cares about my hurts. He cares about where I'm struggling. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we're bothered, we're hurt, we've got the little pesky flies that are eating at us, and we're kind of just very hurt by the things that have happened, and other people come along, and they want to know, hey, what's going on with you? And we tell them, and they begin to immediately, because they think it's going to help, minimize your hurt. And all that does is inflame your hurt, right? But here's what the shepherd knows what to do. He knows how to enter into that with you and anoint you with just what you need to help you when you hurt. When I read this, my heart went, God, how do I get that? I'm reading here that you are enough to heal my hurt, and you're all that I need. But when I'm hurting, how do I get that oil that you're talking about? How do I get that? Well, as I always say, I'm glad you asked, because I want to show you some steps to getting your needs met that come right out of Psalm 5. You ready? Here you are. Number one, just jot this down. These are so simple. Go to him. Go to him. David would trust his wounds to no other person but God, the shepherd. He said, you, God, anoint my head with oil. Not your prophets, not your teachers, not your counselors, not pastors, preachers, friends. Others may guide us to God. Others may point us to God. But only God understands. No one does the work of God or for God. Only he can do it. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 147, verse 3. It says, God heals the brokenhearted. God knows how to do that. Okay? And I believe that as believers, as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and even within the church, we ought to do everything that we can to help. But the best help you can do is to push them towards him who can bring healing when we hurt. That's it. Go to God. Have you taken your disappointments and your hurts to him? Maybe you've shared them with everybody else, your neighbors, your relatives, your friends, your parents. And the truth of the matter, it's been more venting than it has healing, right? Sometimes we need that too. But have you taken them to God? James 5:13 says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. I think before you go anywhere else with your hurts, your disappointments, you need to go to him who can provide just what you need. I love Max Licato. You'll know that. Max Licato says this: maybe you don't want to trouble God with your hurts. After all, he's got famines and pestilence and wars. He won't care about my little struggles, you think. Why don't you let him decide that? He cared enough about a wedding to provide the wine. He cared enough about Peter's tax payment to give him a coin. He cared enough about the woman at the well to give her answers. And he cares about you. Don't you love that? When I read that, I thought, you know, God's a busy guy right now. There's a lot of things going on in our world, right, that are bouncing out of control. But you know what? He cares about his sheep, you. Why don't you let him decide that? You just go to him. So that's number one. You assume and go to him. Number two, assume the right position. So first of all, you get the picture. Here's the sheep. He's got to go to the shepherd, go to the right person, go to God. But second, that sheep had to assume the right position. You and I have to assume the right position. We have to bow before God just like the sheep did to get the oil. Do you see that? In order to be anointed, the sheep had to stand still, lower his head, and let the shepherd do his work. Don't you love what Peter urges in 1 Peter 5:6? Therefore, Christian, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You get it? What just happened? Go to God, assume the right position, and what does he do? He anoints your head with oil. We come to God, we make requests, not demands. We humbly bow before him. God, I don't know what else to do. I'm hurting. It's deep. The scars, I'm wounded. Nobody else sees. Nobody else understands. God, what do I do? Humble yourselves before him, right? And he will lift you up. That's a beautiful picture. Third, you ready? Go to God. It's just so simple, right? Assume the right posture. Bow before him. And then trust him. We bow before him. And third, we trust him to do what he says he will do. Think about this in Psalm 23. The sheep don't understand why the oil works. They don't understand. They don't understand how the chemistry of what he puts in that oil, virgin olive oil, sulfur, they don't understand how that repels the flies. They don't get it. Neither do I. I'm just going to tell you. I sometimes don't understand how God brings the healing that he does when we're hurting. But he does. What must we do? Go to him, bow, and trust him to do it. Trust it into his hands, our hurts. Trust him to deal with the things that have caused our wounds, and trust him to heal the wounds themselves. He knows just what you need when you need it, if you trust him. Ready? Third point. All right, here's how he heals our hurts. He provides all that we need. He provides just what we need. And here it is. He provides more than we need. Closing thought, right, for us today. He provides more than I need. You know what I love about my God? Not only is he enough, listen to me, he's more than enough. Not only is God enough to meet my needs and guide my steps and give me rest and calm my fears and heal my hurts, and not only is he enough, what I have found in my life, and I believe I could go all over this room today for Christians who've been around for a while, and they would say to you, he's not only enough, he's more than enough. He is more than sufficient to meet your needs. He's all you need and some more, right? And I love how verse 5 closes in this, because it, once again, seems like an interesting statement when he says it. But look at verse 5 again. Here's what he says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. You see, he's all we need. He's just what we need. But then look what he says. My cup runs over. My cup overflows. You see that? What did he just tell us? That he's all I need, he's just what I need, and he's more than I need. He will give me more than I need. It's very interesting. Again, y'all are getting lots of sheep facts today. I hope you like this, okay? So now we're up on the tableland, right, with the sheep. And if you think about this, there aren't any clear flowing springs up on the Table Rock. Where were they? They're down in the valley areas, right? That's where the streams are. So now there's something up there that's called a shepherd's pond. Some people call it a shepherd's pond. Some call it a shepherd's bowl. Some call it a shepherd's cup. And it's hewn out of rock, okay? And they fill it level with water. But sheep won't drink from it because they don't trust it. Remember, we said a long time ago that sheep are funny animals, just like we are. No accident here that Scripture would call us a bunch of sheep, right? They're kind of different kind of animals, right? But But the thing about sheep is, unless all of the circumstances around them are just right, they won't eat and they won't drink and they won't rest. And so what does the shepherd do? Why is he all we need? Because he provides all of that for them, right? Well, now they're on the tableland, and so he takes the shepherd's cup or the shepherd's bowl, or more like this hewn out rock, and he fills it to overflowing with sheep, and he takes the sheep up to it and he plunges their head into it so that the water splashes up and over, and then the sheep are happy. And they drink till their heart's content. And their cup overflows, literally. Now that's interesting to me, isn't it? That sometimes, you see, God knows just what we need, and sometimes he has to lead us to it, and he has to make us drink it, and sometimes we don't want to, but when we do, all of a sudden we go, oh, God, that was good. That was real good. Not only did you just meet my need, but you took care of everything around my need, and then you provided me with a peace and a joy in the midst of my hurt. You replaced it with not just what I need, but more than I needed. My cup overflows. I love that. There's one more tradition, and I close with this, that has to do with this overflowing cup that I just love, and I think it's a great way for us to end this message today. It's like this. In that area, when you went to be a guest in someone's home, they would set a cup before you, and they would fill it, and you would drink it to the bottom, and they would fill it again, and you would drink it, and they would fill it again, and when your host quit filling it, it meant it was time for you to go. That was it. It meant the party's over, I'm going to bed, and you got to go home, right? Fill it, drink it, fill it, drink it. I don't fill it, it means time to go. Bye. You got it? But if your host took that cup and overflowed it onto the table, he was telling you that you are a welcome guest in his time, in his home, any time you wanted. You could stay as long as you wanted. Overflowed cup. You know what that says to me? God's invited us to stay in his presence constantly, and find that he is enough. He's enough. He's enough to meet my needs. He's enough to give me rest. He's enough to calm my fears. He's enough to guide my steps. And he's enough to heal my hurts. And I can stay in his presence just as long as I want, because my cup overflows. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the simple, simple truth of the shepherd's psalm. How it speaks to us and how it ministers to us and what it means to us personally today. God, I know that all over this room, and maybe even some listening today in on our services, some of us are dealing with hurts. God, we can't live in this life without getting hurt, and some are even wounded by those hurts. God, what I'm finding today from your word is that you are more than enough to heal those hurts, to touch us where we're hurting, to mend us. God, if we'll just come to you, you're all we need. And God, you know just what we need to bring healing if we'll come to you and bow before you and trust you. And when we do, when we get into your presence, we find that you're more than enough. God, I don't know what you're saying in hearts and lives that are hearing this right now. But God, I believe with all of my heart, Lord, that people need you. They need you. People are hurting today. They're struggling. But you are enough. And I pray today, Lord, wherever we are, that we would cry out to you. If there's anyone that doesn't know you, they'd cry out to you and invite you in, because you're enough. For believers who are hurting, they cry out to you, because you're enough. And Lord, today they would find their hurts healed, their hearts mended, because truly you do heal the brokenhearted, Lord, just like your word says. So God, as we just enter into a time of response to you, I believe that's happening already in my heart, in this place. God, as we open up this time of response, we just commit it to you. There may be some that need to come and just fall on this altar and say, God, I give you my hurts. There may be some looking for a church home. There may be some who want to recommit their life to this good shepherd that is more than enough or some who want to give their heart and life to Him for the very first time. Give us the courage to respond to You today as we sing this beautiful song, I Surrender All. Help us to truly do that, to come to You, to bow before You, and to trust You. And God, what You do, we'll be careful to give You and You alone all the praise and the honor and the glory. It's in Your name I ask these things. Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing our hymn of invitation, I Surrender All? And if you need to come today, you come as we sing.